This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and Mike McCarthy spoke to reporters. That'll be our first story as we get you the Cowboys news of the day. Might be seeing stuff about David Irving. We should talk about that as well with you right here on your home of the Cowboys. Huge day of news. And coming up at 4:20, Jeff and Brian will have their draft segment of the day. But let's get into this right here with cut number nine, Mike McCarthy. Can you put your finger on a specific need or needs?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about needs, you can't have enough good football players. And I always point to my past experience in 2010. 2010, it took 77 players to win a Super Bowl. So I've never really, you know, I'm not a believer in you're one player away or two players away from winning a championship. So you want to have as many veterans as you possibly can. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to coach a more experienced football team. But that rookie class is so important, and really bringing that veteran group and that rookie class together is really where the really good teams take a big step, particularly in November. So just paying attention more to those types of things and making sure that how we install and how we lay out this offseason program, we're able to get the veterans up to snuff, but more importantly, when that rookie orientation, when that new group comes in, that we can get these guys meshed as fast as we can.
Okay, so I can't wait for your guys' takeaways on that. For me, I think that's something that the front office and fans really need to listen to, because he is spelling it out to me that, boy, if you want to make a big run like we did in 2011, you have to have a good group of veterans. And guess what we're doing with veterans? On the defensive side, saying goodbye. You need to have a lot of good veterans and marry that with a draft class that is awesome. So to me, Mike McCarthy's saying, we'll see how good we are. We have 25 guys walking away from this football team potentially in free agency. So who are the owners going to bring back, and how good is the front office going to draft? And to me, that's the takeaway for me on that. Like, if you want to start talking championship, let me know what the score is here in about 2 months.
Yeah, especially because I think the first thing that jumped out to me is he was talking about how he's excited to get going with this experienced team.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, we were talking about, oh, it's the youngest team. And a year ago, it was like, oh, they're super young. And now suddenly it's an experienced team. The reason that you're talking that way is because your young crop of players from the last 3 years has basically netted you Michael Gallup and
maybe Tony Pollard. Yeah, I think Connor McGovern might be pretty good.
Maybe McGovern, maybe. But I think if you look up and down the contender rosters and up and down the Super Bowl rosters, what you're going to find is 8 to 12 guys from their last three draft class. And it's like starter, 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 superstar, contributor. And right now they're lacking that. So right now they're going to have to figure out a way to, I mean, I think he said experience because a lot of this is going to have to be plugged up with cheap free agency.
Yeah.
And we went over the list of how they've done with that over the last few years. Cheap free agency generally nets you guys that aren't real good. That's why they're the cheap free agents. So they've got a lot of work to do in team building if they want to have this thing be really competitive.
If you look at their two deep roster, and even now with some of the expansion, a little bit of the maybe even three deep, there is a lot more of problems for them when it comes to their starters and then the backups on defense than it is the offense. You know, I mean, if you look, I mean, just the name, Malik Collins, Robert Quinn, Sean Lee, Byron Jones, you know, Darian Thompson. Then look at the backups, Malcolm Smith, Joe Thomas, Anthony Brown, you know, Kayvon Frazier, C.J. Goodwin. I mean,
Christian Covington, Kerry Hyder, exactly, whatever.
That's what I'm saying. His issues are going to be on defense. I think this is why Stephen Jones said what he said about defense and what he's going to have to do. But he's going to have to go for some of that bottom of the barrel stuff. I know fans don't want to hear that, but the salary cap is not going to allow him to bring back some of those guys that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, he was asked about needs, and I did love the part where he's saying we just need good players. You know, I that's the part that I want the front office to really hone in on. Just get good players. Quit worrying about your needs and looking. It's going to change. If not in the next 4 months, in the next 12 months, your idea of needs is going to flip on its head. So quit paying so much attention to that, especially when you're close. Oh, we're so close. We just need a three technique tackle. Oh, yeah. And you know, guys that can help you for a decade are sitting there on the damn board.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I've listened to you guys from afar. You know, when I was at the Star or, you know, wherever I was, I listened to you guys. And there are a lot of things you talked about with team building. And so I know I joke with you guys about that, but you're absolutely right. Because I've looked at this as, okay, if they could just get this three technique, okay, if they could just get this nickel corner, it's really more widespread than that. And I hate to admit that as a former scout, but that's really what it is.
The game has changed.
It has changed. Yeah. I mean, how can I find ways? Yeah, it's about depth and stuff like that. But I tend to think, okay, we're okay here. We're okay here. We're okay. In actuality, you're really not okay there. It is about going out and getting. It's not just about I got to have Malik Collins play this three technique, you know, or I've got to find a way to get, you know, Anthony Brown to play the nickel corner.
Yeah.
It's really bigger than that.
You need young, cheap players in their rookie years
That play well. So, that's the whole idea.
So if you can't find one at the position that you would prefer, you find the best player who's going to come in and be player.
There you go.
And build a role for him.
Absolutely. There you go.
When you come up after a hit on free agency in 4 or 5 years, that free agent is going to ask for the most money in his position in the NFL. Do you want that guy to be like kind of good or do you want him to have all of the traits? And you're like, yeah, we love to draft that guy and we love everything that he brings to the table. And we're running with the check to his agent because we can't believe all the boxes that he checks.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely, because we just talked about Tim Hardaway Jr. and how they might have got a little lucky with him. You know, they got a little lucky with Robert Quinn. Yeah. If you think about, you know, you're going to have to do stuff like that. You're going to have to be creative, but you're going to have to hit on players that can work and make a difference in these games.
I'm really surprised, like all those names you were going through on defense.
Yeah.
When you add all that up, 12 of their top 22 defenders are free agents. Mm-hmm. So more than half of your guys that play defense and are actually on your active roster are gone.
Yeah.
And 1, 2, 3, 4 of those are starters. Fifth one was sometimes a starter.
Because of how quickly rosters are constantly turning over, how dependent are you? Couldn't say you're only as good as your draft class, but you could say, man, this year's rookie draft class is going to have a huge say on how good you are immediately. You know, and I think there's a lot of team building stuff to it, but I do think that the other side of that is, can you use those draft picks if you're in a championship window to trade and assure yourself that you're getting guys that can step in and help you right now?
See, I keep thinking about what you were talking about earlier, General, with if you didn't pay the quarterback, and I know that sounds crazy, but you think about that money and you think about could you fill a lot more of those needs defensively? You know, or could you fill the needs of your team by paying guys that you're going to, you know, Kerry Hyder was a good player for them. You think about that. Signing Robert Quinn back. You know, could you take that money and not have to cause yourself so many? Is not having depth just as important as having a $38 million quarterback?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's the line we're getting close to.
Yeah, for the depth of your overall roster.
The numbers people will say that quarterbacks are still producing more wins, even at these salary numbers and the percentage of the salary cap, than a collection of role players who would add up to the same amount of money.
As long as he's good enough.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that's where so many teams are going to run into now.
Right.
Because we look at almost pick a team, with the exception of very few quarterbacks. Dak was good last year.
Sure it was.
He had good protection. He had Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Randall Cobb, and he was good last year. And then the 2 years before that, he wasn't as good.
Yeah.
When the protection wasn't as good, or you didn't have Amari Cooper or whatever, and you look around the league and that kind of happens. Like Carson Wentz, his numbers last year were just okay. Why? Yeah. He had nothing.
Nothing.
Everybody got hurt. And so if your quarterback exists in that area and isn't able to thrive almost regardless of circumstance, are you making a mistake in paying him?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cowboys are probably struggling with that right now, and that's why they're driving such a hard bargain on what they think a guy is worth, and no one else in the league is doing that. The Rams said, no, he's our guy, pay him. Yeah. Eagles, he's our guy, pay him. Cowboys are looking at it going, let's talk about exactly how much, and they're the only team doing it.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy, the only guy talking like this, you know, because Jerry will talk championships. Steven will talk about we're just going to make good decisions. Jason, for a decade, said we're just going to trust the process and be the best version of ourselves today. Mike McCarthy has sauntered in here, I think, though, and undermined the idea that we're always going for a championship with the Cowboys by spelling out how far the roster away is. Jason Garrett, as a matter of self-preservation, I think, would not interfere with the narrative Jerry was spinning. But I like this. I think it is honesty the front office needs. We're not close, is what Mike McCarthy said to me. We got to draft a bunch of really good young players and hope and pray we can find veterans at a budget, right? And I don't know. After a while, does he figure out, well, you know, you don't want to mess with the Jerry narrative that much? Or maybe, you know, that's the kind of honesty that Jason Garrett should have been throwing out into the public for us all along, and he was kind of negligent in those part of the job duties, talking to us and Jerry.
Head coach has a big stick in that department. Yeah. You know, find a way, Mike McCarthy, to use it. But it's up to you with the players on that field to coach and bring it up that level.
Good way to tie it up there, Brian. Thank you so much. All right, David Irving, I think because of the massive need that we just talked about, you need desperately to find players making under $4 million who can have a massive impact, whether they're budget free agents, quote, bad boys, or draft picks. You need them. So because of that, Brian, I would expect from the outside looking in that the Cowboys would have to have at least some level of interest, even though it went horribly bad between the organization and the player last year.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that, General. You're going to make sure that, A, he gets reinstated, and, B, is he going to be the right fit? Yeah, I think that's their job, 24-7, try and add players the best you can. Hopefully they have an idea. Is there other circumstances that we don't know about? They're trying to work, but that's part of it. When you're bringing in players or bringing back players, you have to know the full bit of the circumstance, and we'll see. We'll see if they do that, in fact.
So maybe the move, Jeff, is to be, okay, all right, I'll raise an eye up, but we're going to do a lot of due diligence on this because we can't go back down that path, anywhere close to that path.
Yeah, because I don't think David Irving's biggest problem was that he couldn't pass a drug test. My feeling is David Irving's biggest problem was accountability. So, like, I don't think that even if he gets reinstated, like, yeah, your team's desperate. Much like the Mavericks were a team where trading for Porzingis was the right thing to do, no matter how worried you were about his health, because that's where you were. For the Cowboys, I think you have to look underneath every single rock you can find if you think you can get talent at a bargain. My gut is that, first of all, there's probably hurdles to him getting even reinstated. Yeah. And second, I bet there's going to be, for every voice in there that's like, we got to at least look at this and be willing to be open to any idea, I think there'll be other voices that are like, no. Like, we'll take Randy for sure, because we think Randy cares and wants to be here, but the other guy doesn't.
Yeah. You know, I would want to know how much of the dysfunction was due to the NFL's punishment and how much was because he can't get along with anybody in any organization, right?
Well, I think you're onto something there, General.
I could see it, right, that a guy is so bent out of shape for the NFL's policies. And, you know, whether you agree or not, maybe he sees it, I'm being oppressed. And at that point, if he's firing off and he's not in a good mode to work because he's ticked off at the NFL at large, cool. You know, so I really need to roll up my sleeves and get in there and talk with the guy and talk to people that know him and do the most due diligence as possible, because that's what talent dictates organizations do. The Cowboys news of the day has concluded, G-Bag Nation. There you have it, another edition. Now we turn our attention to Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. And what do you guys have in mind for us?
Mock drafts are not fun unless they make you think.
Welcome back, Nation. Every day at this time, Jeff and Brian do a draft segment. They take you inside their scouting room, their war room, if you will. Segment's brought to you by Mark Rubin at Rubin and Associates. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 800-LAWYERS. They'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. Official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. And here he is, Jeff Kavanaugh with Brian Broaddus.
This would be great if it wasn't so terrible.
What happened?
My headphones have a really long cord.
Uh-huh.
And so they always, I end up accidentally rolling over the cord.
Oh, no.
And so then it gets tangled up. And so right now I can't really reach the mic unless I squat way down.
Want me to get to work on that down there while you guys are talking draft?
No, I just want you guys to know what's happening as I try to roll the up. See, even rolling the chair closer doesn't help. Nothing we can do here. We're stuck. We're going headphone free this segment. No headphones. Gavin's going to try some surgery to free my headphones. Oh, wow!
Look at that.
So fast.
That's a teammate right there.
I believe you can fly.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah. You got it, man.
The tease was mock drafts aren't fun unless they make you think. So,
all right, I like that premise.
I wouldn't bring one up.
When are the boring mocks all right? On draft week, we can go to boring and what you really think. For now, it should be fun. I like that.
Yeah, like I want it to make sense, but I don't want it to look like somebody just looked at the consensus of what the internet says and was like, here you go. I can do it too. Just do what you believe. I can tell if the person doing a mock draft is using their own thought or if they're just looking around the internet. And so
I can do one of those.
I think you could do one.
Might be better than mine.
And people would look at it and they'd be like, yep.
All right.
Makes sense.
Yep.
But I like ones where I see something that I wasn't expecting that's like, oh, okay, he sees this a little bit differently, and I can appreciate that. So Bucky Brooks mock draft 2.0 here. And at the very, very top, it won't be different because it probably makes sense for everybody to say Joe Burrow, number one, Cincinnati, the end. Number two, Chase Young, Ohio State, to Washington. Now, I tell you what, wild card, Washington has been meeting with the top quarterbacks at the combine.
This is true.
They are meeting with Tua. They are meeting with Justin Herbert. And they said, we like Dwayne, mm-hmm. but we are going to do our due diligence on whatever we think is best for our team. So
they took it in last year, and they had Kerrigan still, right?
Yeah, they took Montez Sweat.
Sweat.
Yep. But so they throw that chum in the water, Brian.
Yeah.
Washington saying, hey, maybe we'll take a quarterback.
I like this.
What?
You know what? I like the fact that Washington's doing it. And maybe again, Ron Rivera. I was talking about yesterday, General. I was kind of saying, oh, this is great for Haskins. New coach, new system, new everything. Hey, he gets a free, you know, they got rid of the general manager. Everything's good.
Restart.
Now it's like, well, wait a minute. What just happened? So I like it. I like the fact that even if they're doing it to meet with these top quarterbacks, I like it just for the fact that teams think that they might actually take a quarterback mm-hmm. in two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, make those people behind you think that you can take a quarterback.
Bucky Brooks mock draft at number three, Isaiah Simmons. The Clemson safety / linebacker. He'll be an NFL linebacker. But yeah. He can play safety if you wanted him to.
He's slot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
To the Lions at three is Isaiah Simmons, a place where we've been seeing the Ohio State corner, Jeff Okuda, a lot.
Right.
We're now seeing Isaiah Simmons from Bucky. At number four, Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle from Alabama, helps to protect Daniel Jones. All of this is close to standard. Number five, Tua T. Makes sense. Number six, Justin Herbert, the Oregon quarterback to the Chargers. Number seven, Derek Brown, Auburn defensive tackle to the Carolina Panthers. Number eight, Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle of Iowa, goes to the Cardinals.
Good pick.
Number nine is where you start realizing, whoa, this one is different.
Oh, yeah.
Number nine is South Grand Prairie's own. Jeff Okuda.
That's late.
Ohio State to the Jags with Jalen Ramsey being gone. It is late. And that was the first thing where Broaddus and I, there's a new Trust the Tape out wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to listen, we give you about 35, 40 minutes a week of just nerding out draft coverage. You can go check that out. And that's the first time where Brian goes, stop. What if the draft goes that way? And after eight picks, the best corner in the draft is on the board. You think that he's going to go to 10 Pro Bowls, because I do. I think Okuda's going to go to 10 Pro Bowls. What are we doing in our room?
Man.
Are we talking?
Yeah. Get me. I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone.
Can we get there?
Yeah, I'm on the phone at 9, right there. I am totally, I've got the math.
You got my math?
I got my math.
What's the math?
We're 10 points short. We're going to try and do this. We're 10 points short. If it's going to be 400. That their pick is going to be worth 1350.
Okay.
We're worth 950.
Okay. We need 400.
We need 400. Our 51 is worth 390. That's the second round pick. Yeah, we're going to be 10
okay,
shy.
Okay, so now we got to throw him a 6.
Yeah.
We got to throw him a 6 and see if that'll get the job done.
I think you don't have a 6. I think you have 2 5s.
All right, you got to throw him your comp 5.
Yep.
Maybe
for Beasley.
Maybe your 7 is worth 10 points.
Yeah. Your 7. Let me go across here, look at the board.
Yeah, find me my 7.
Yeah. You're going to have to go into the 6th round. You're going to have to get 6th round is your 6th round will be worth it starts at pick 203 is where it starts on the board. It starts to turn into to like 10.
Okay, so you'd have to give him your 2nd, 5th round pick, we'll say. If the Cowboys end up with a comp pick for Cole Beasley,
should. Right, right.
Would you give up your 1, your 2, and one of your 2 5s on a team that needs a lot of players? They need a lot of help. But you have an elite prospect that just takes your 1, your 2, and one of your 5s.
Give me the teams that are behind that 9th. With the teams in the order? Who's number 10?
Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland
okay.
at 10.
Okay.
New York at 11, the Jets.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just trying to get a gauge if he's still going to be there.
He might keep going.
Yeah, but I'm thinking I'm going to have – once people see him start to slide, I think people are going to try to get to that spot.
Yeah.
So I'm in.
You do it?
Yeah, I'm in.
1 2 5?
1 2 5. I'm in.
I'm in, too, and I'm going to be so mad after we go home that night. We're coming back to cover the
draft
next day.
No, you're not. You got the best corner in the draft.
Yeah, I know, but there will be a draft happening, and we'll be like, listen, the Cowboys will pick in a few hours. Just hang with us. We'll find a way back up later.
It doesn't matter. Go get the best player at that position.
I just fill segments talking about Okuda.
Yes, we just keep talking about, hey, you know what else he's good at?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. We're going to the presser now, Okuda.
Yeah.
We got Okuda!
Yeah.
South Grand Prairie Zone, let's go. Now, okay, so I think we agree that we would do that. Now, if it played out exactly how the rest of this plays out in Bucky Brooks' mock draft, by the time we get to 17, I would fire you and punch you in the face if I were the boss. And if you were the boss, I would let you punch me in the face and fire me because of what's going to happen here.
Okay. And when you get to that point of what you're about to say, I'm going to ask you a very important question.
Okay. At number 10, the Georgia offensive tackle, Andrew Thomas, goes to Cleveland.
Good player.
Trying to protect Baker. And by the way, they kind of said he's fat, and they want him to get in better shape.
And I heard he's short.
At 11, well, I heard he's shorter than short. I heard bleeping dwarfism or something.
Mm. By the way, I heard this morning that is offensive because they used to use it as a way to, like, promote little people shows. And it was like...
Oh, like the wrestling stuff?
It was meant to, like, treat him like a freak show.
Yeah.
Okay.
That word resulted from the freak show business.
Okay. Well, yeah. In that case, from now on, you will be... I feel like I'd be offended by little people if I was a little person.
I believe that's what they want.
That's what they want?
They released a statement in 15. Yeah.
Who's they?
The Little People Association.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the name of it?
I might be. I'm just paraphrasing there, okay. But that's essentially what it was.
At number 11, offensive tackle, Mekhi Becton, giant man.
He is a giant
goes
man.
Goes to the New York Jets.
He's not a little people.
He is not a little people. He is a giant people.
All four of them.
At number 12. You have Jordan Love, the Utah State quarterback.
Oh, that's Oakland.
Go to the Raiders.
Oh, sorry, Vegas.
Yes, so that's Vegas. Now, I want to stop you here again for this reason. 12 picks have happened. After Andrew Thomas and Mekhi Becton go, that's the 4 best offensive tackles in the draft class, all gone in the top 12 picks. Hmm. 4 offensive tackles, and with Jordan Love, 4 quarterbacks.
Like in this.
8 of the top 12 picks have been offensive tackle or quarterback.
Wow.
If you're the Cowboys or anybody else who is not in the market for an offensive tackle or a quarterback,
bring it on.
You love it because that's what drove Okuda to 9, and that's what's driving something else that'll happen shortly.
Ooh, building anticipation.
At 13, Jerry Jeudy, Alabama wide receiver.
Oh.
You know the short version of Jeudy? Anyway, Jerry Jeudy goes to the Colts.
Yeah.
At 14, You lose Javon Kinlaw, South Carolina D tackle, and he is a monster, but you lost him. At 15, Brian's going to lose his corner here, C.J. Henderson out of Florida, who would be one of my, like, all right, we got stuck at 17 and you picked him, and I'd go, okay.
Okay, good deal, good deal.
But he goes at 15. At 16, our second edge rushers off the board, Kalavon Chaisson from LSU, which puts the Cowboys on the clock at 17 with the top two corners gone, the top two edge rushers gone, your defensive tackles that you would want there are gone, and instead, there's a surprise that you might not have thought would be there.
Draft gods smiling on you.
Does anyone know what that surprise is?
Be a wide receiver, probably, wouldn't it?
You have not heard the name CeeDee Lamb yet. And at 17, Bucky Brooks does what Jeffrey Brooks would do. It's me. He picks CeeDee Lamb for the Dallas Cowboys.
For that matter.
CeeDee Lamb! We did it! And now we drop 40 burgers. Ooh. And we pray to God that our defense could do anything. Now, the bad part is we can't have him because we already traded up.
Yeah.
To take Okuda, and now Broadus and I are fighting on the war room cam, and he's got me in a headlock doing the noogie move, and everybody who's watching is like, what in the world is going on in that war room? They picked eight picks ago, and CeeDee Lamb is going to some other team. He's going to Jacksonville instead. But that makes you think.
That does make you
think. Not impossible.
Who is the higher-rated player on your board?
Okuda
or Lamb?
Okuda, but I would rather have Lamb and my two and my five back.
That's fair.
Then Okuda.
That's fair.
Because I don't anticipate that he makes it to 17, but if he did, I would absolutely take him, and I would not take questions from anybody in the room. I would be war room war daddy, and I'd be like, guys, we're on, and seven people would be like, let me tell you, like, but we're not going to talk about it because I'm already picking this guy. It's over. So that's where he goes at 17.
Your plan's to run three wide receivers permanently?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, every play.
Not a bad plan.
Or more.
Yeah.
Maybe four. But definitely three. And, you know, we got to see how free agency plays out leading up to it. You got to see. But I tell you what, when you were talking earlier, Gavin, this goes to your point. Let's say they've got Amari Cooper back in some way, shape, or form.
Sure.
And they've got Randall Cobb back in some way, shape, or form. And they're like, we have no need at receiver. I would still look at what's left on our board, and I would say CeeDee Lamb is my seventh or eighth best player in the draft. The next best guy is 17 or 18.
Yeah. Randall Cobb's going to be gone in a year.
We're picking him.
Yeah.
We're picking him, and we'll figure it out because I believe what Mike McCarthy is telling us, and what Mike McCarthy is telling us is, you give me the best players, I'll make it work. I'm taking the best player. I don't care if I have a need. He plays an important position. We're dropping 40 burgers.
Yeah, you know, affecting the passing game positively is what I'm looking to do. You know, I think that's the number one predictor of success, isn't it? How efficient is your passing game? We've seen that in the NFL stats. They've been accumulated. Nothing helps winning more than passing game efficiency. I just want to know, where's the law of diminishing return on that? Now you have three premium receivers and a slot receiver. Have you gone past the point where
I'm going to find out.
Okay.
I'll let you know after we try.
Bet more third-round wide receivers or more third-round corners?
Wide receivers.
Okay. So if I make this trade, I'm going to get back. I'm going to pick Okuda. I'm going to trade up for Okuda. I'm going to lose my two, but I got a shot to recoup a wide receiver that might help you, right?
Could.
I mean, am I talking about Pittman, Edwards, Gandy Golden?
Oh, you're
the
going,
kid from Luby?
You're going
from
to the Liberty kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there will be good wide receivers, but I think that I'm going to turn your own words against you right now.
Okay.
This is when the student becomes the teacher.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm in the business of doing, Brian? Adding great football players.
That's fair.
I'm not going to let what I think might happen in the third round affect what I'm doing at the top of the draft. Now, in this case, we are debating great football player versus great football player.
If you didn't have a two, what position would you go for in the third round? If you didn't have a two, you got a CUDA. But who would you go for in the third round to kind of help your team? Not kind of, to help your team.
It would depend who's available, but I think you'd have good options at corner, defensive tackle.
So wait a minute, you're going to go back-to-back on the corners.
You could.
Which is not is something we talked about yesterday is how do you help the secondary, right?
Yeah.
Covering makes a difference for rush. That's what I'm learning.
You could have a D tackle. You could have a defensive end. Wide receiver, obviously, you'll have good players there because you'll have them there forever. And maybe even a tight end, which, believe me, I've got a pulse on the Cowboy fan base, Brian.
Yeah.
They ain't trying to pick tight ends.
No.
They want no part of drafting tight ends.
They want no part of that tight end.
Especially
no.
on day two. But there you go. CeeDee Lamb to the Cowboys. How about it?
I love it, Brian, Jeff. Brian's draft segment of the day, daily at 4:20 here. We're going to go around the NFL, get you all the stories coming in from the Combine next in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And it's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Why'd old Ron Rivera choose Washington and not wait for opportunities with the Cowboys or the Giants? He was asked about that, and we'll give you his answer to those. Why do you guys think Ron Rivera was so much more of a hot coaching candidate than Jason Garrett? Did he do that much better of a job, or is he more liked? Is he more inspiring? Did that Amazon Prime show and the speeches that he gave and the fire, you know, does that matter? The trip to the Super Bowl, maybe?
Yeah.
Did that one trip to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Jason Garrett had a better overall record, but Ron Rivera with his Super Bowl appearances, things like that, the way he handled various problems with the organization, how he weathered those things, he showed a lot of leadership skills for that. Yeah, very inviting guy that way.
Ron Rivera, very respected man.
Yeah, very respected, yeah.
Around the NFL. And I saw this story on CBSSports.com. He was asked, why'd you just go to Washington so quickly when other jobs were potentially out there for you? He says, it's funny because everyone kept asking, why'd you take it so quick? It's not about the money. I really thought about it. I could have waited on the Giants. I could have waited on Cleveland. Could have waited on Dallas. Those are the teams we kept hearing had interest. This is about the fit, and the more I listened, the more I looked at it, the more I looked at the roster. That's what impressed me the most, the more I knew. I came into initial talks with some trepidation, but as I've gotten to know Mr. Snyder, I understand really all he wants to do is figure out how to win, and that is pretty exciting. Dan Snyder, known for wanting to be more involved with roster decisions than the average owner, but with a savvy coach now in the building, it appears he's comfortable with a new power structure for the organization. I think this is one of those deals where the guy knows he's got to change and give power to the coaches, so he hires a guy, he tells him, I'm going to give you power, this is going to be great. And then the first time things are a little bit stressful, then guys like Snyder go back in and start, oh, you know what, you know, come on into my office, I have some ideas for you. This is a common story. Rivera will reportedly, though, oversee more front office moves, and has brought Rob Rogers with him from Carolina to serve as a senior VP of football administration. So at least he's trying. That's the story. Do you buy it that Snyder's actually going to get let Rivera and his lieutenants operate the football operations side? That'd be a big about-face, wouldn't it?
At first,
yeah.
Right? I think Gavin's right. At first, and if it doesn't go well, you get to the, all right,
well,
my team got to fix it. Here we go.
Yeah, well, I think the fact he got rid of the paid liar, Bruce Allen, I think is a start in the right direction. That organization needed to remove him as quickly as possible, and they did. They finally, he came to his senses and said, hey, I have got to move on from this guy. Okay. That is the best first step he could have done. Let Ron Rivera, that staff, let them do what they need to do. If it doesn't work out, well, then you can make a change as your ownership. That's your prerogative to do. But the fact that Bruce Allen is no longer part of that organization is the best thing he could have done, and it gives me hope.
Well, I don't want to hope. I want to hear that the dysfunctional years are going to continue. But you're right.
Come on, Brian.
We do need to give them a chance to reestablish what their reputation is going to be under these new dynamics. I think Daniel Snyder's been around for, what, 20 years or so as the owner now?
99, I think, is when he got it from the Cook family.
So, I don't know. I need more information on that. Why should we believe it was Bruce Allen responsible for the dysfunction when the owner has been there and overseen three or four different administrations?
Nah, Bruce Allen is the reason. I've worked in the league long enough to know the problems of certain organizations. Bruce Allen was the top of the list at Washington.
Good stuff.
That organization will improve. They could have improved with Scott McLuhan. And I'm not doing it bitter guy that Scotty and I worked together in Green Bay, but if they would have let Scott McLuhan do what he wanted to do, that team would have been longer term, would have been better off. They were going the right direction, but Bruce Allen had to say, I need the credit for this and that. Ooh. He got in the way, and he made up stuff about Scott, and that's what happened there.
Fights for credit is so pathetic, isn't it? But it probably goes all the way to the top. It's something that even, you know, that kind of success can't get you security.
Well, that's always been their problem, right? Is they always had, like, they'll hire a GM, but then the GM has not just the owner above him, but then there's Bruce Allen walking around. It's like, well, wait, you hired me. I'm the GM. So I'm going to, and it's like, no. Let me tell you which. And it's like, what? You go tell the owner, you're like, hey, you hired me as the GM. And he's like, I'll fire you too. Like, what are you doing?
Man, is that a common link from the teams that underperform consistently? It seems like that was going on in Cleveland too. Too many front office chefs in a kitchen.
Well, and if you don't know what direction you want to go, Jeff Lurie had that problem in Philadelphia. When wanted to go, he went from a certain way of doing things. And then I myself, Mike Lombardi, went there in the late 90s. And then he's like, well, we're going to do it the Packer way. And then it became, we're going to do it the Steeler way. And then they got Andy Reid and it went back to the Packer way of doing things. So, you know, when you're in ownership and you're always looking for what the identity of your team and you're trying, instead of like the teams like Pittsburgh, who just consistently keep the same people in place and they have that continuity. I think that's the most important thing.
Good stuff around the NFL brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Here is Jeff with that second down.
Okay, what I have is a list of five candidates to break the record in the 40-yard dash.
Oh, wow.
In the combine this weekend. And three of them, as a Cowboy fan, I would pay close attention to because I have interest in three of these guys being on my football team. At number five, and this is not a real candidate to break the record, but his name is Raymond Calais. Daniel Jeremiah says he's a ULALA, Louisiana Lafayette. He's a running back there, and he was 2016 Louisiana Track and Field Athlete of the Year. He won the 100, the 200, the 4x1, the 4x2. In the state meet. But then at the end it says he's been timed in the mid-4.3s during his training. Mid-4.3s ain't getting it done, boys. We're trying to get to 4.2 flat.
Yeah.
So he don't count.
Would Ross run it in? Wasn't it like 4.19?
Did he go 4.18? 4.19?
4.19, yeah.
Whew. Okay, that's going to be tough. No one's going to break it. But anyway, at number four, TCU wide receiver Jalen Reagor. What you need to do is figure out when the R's hit the track on Thursday. For the wide receivers, because the R's are where you want to be, where you have Jalen Reagor run, and shortly after you'll have Henry Ruggs. So he's been timed consistently in the mid to low 4.3s, and he's expected to run that time during the combine, which is very good. It'll be great, but that's not really a threat.
Ross's official combine time was 4.22. I think he did the 4.19 at Pro Day or something like
that. Okay, or the 4.19 was the unofficial when it stopped on TV.
Right.
And when the numbers actually come out, they say 4.22. I thought it was in the – okay. Next candidate, University of Texas, Devin Duvernay, who, by the way, never drops a pass. He had over 100 catches for the Longhorns last year. Track background, he won the 100-meter 6A state title in 2015.
Wow.
He ran a 10.27 in the 100. So that probably translates to a really fast 40.
That's scooting.
Now, the two guys who are a real threat at the top of the list here. Javelin Guidry.
Okay.
First of all, his name is Javelin.
Sounds fast.
That's awesome.
Track guy.
And is that also the name of that animal, the hog that was like running down the street in the viral video? Is that a javelina?
Javelina.
Like that?
Javelina?
Is it a javelina? I didn't know how to say
it. Yeah. Javelina.
Well, Javelin here, track background. He in high school.
Clearly.
Yes. He in high school.
Parents had that in mind from birth.
I don't know if he threw the javelin, but he sure did sprint. He has run the fastest 100-meter dash in the history of California in high school. Now, it was wind-aided, so the note is the fastest all-conditions time. So I guess it wasn't an official time because it was too much wind or whatever. But he ran a 10.13 in high school.
Man.
And I know that in college he also ran the 60. And I think he finished like 11th in the nation, which let's just get those other 10 to play football and come break this record.
You think he's good, you should see his sister shot put. That's her name. And the event.
And at number one, Henry Ruggs III, wide receiver, Alabama, which is interesting because apparently in high school – he broke the Alabama state record in the 100, but it was a 10.58. That's a lot slower than the two behind him ran in high school, but whatever. I've seen him run in college. That dude's running in the 4.2s. He's been timed last spring in the 4.2s by NFL scouts. Daniel Jeremiah says he is a legitimate threat to break John Ross's record, Henry Ruggs.
All right.
The end.
Around the NFL is brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. And here is Mr. Broaddus with third down.
Yeah, when we get to the, and I'm glad Jeff was talking about those guys at the combine. And the focus when you're a scout is you go to the combine with expectations of the workouts. And when you watch those workouts, you're thinking, I wonder if this guy could play another position. I wonder if that defensive end could be a linebacker. I wonder if that corner could be a wide receiver. I wonder if that running back, you get the idea. You're sitting in the stands and at the combine this week, and you always on your sheet, on your timing sheet that the combine provides, that the players will have their names, but they'll also have an alternate position that they're going to work out at. So the teams can request the players to work out at an alternate position. So after they complete their workout with their assigned group, then another coach will take them and work them out in some drills, and you get that on film.
That sounds exhausting.
Well, it is. It is exhausting.
Because I've heard that this, even at one position, is an exhausting week for
the
players.
It is. It's very, very tough. But, you know, some players, and we've heard about with Jalen Hurts, is saying, no, I'm not going to work out at wide receiver. I am a quarterback. You know, I am not going to let that happen. But there's 43 other players that in the combine for this weekend for the workouts that will be working out at other positions. And some of the notables, Chase Claypool, who is the wide receiver from Notre Dame, you know, at 6'4", 238 pounds, he's kind of a mismatched guy. You watch him play on tape, he's a big physical guy. Teams have asked him to work out as a tight end. So you're thinking, okay, well, that makes a little sense. Maybe a guy you could put some more weight on him. You know, I was like I said, going down through. Chase Young was a guy that people talked about, the defensive end from Ohio State.
See if he'll do linebacker drills.
Yeah, but the people are asking, well, if he's going to work out, yeah, let's put him in linebacker drills. But there's some other ones that I was just going through. Defensive linemen, that linebackers. Gross Matos, the Penn State defensive end. Hey, we want to see him as a linebacker. Jason Stobridge from North Carolina. He's a defensive end, can play defensive tackle. People say, hey, let's look at him as a linebacker. Jabari Zogina, who is a defensive end from Florida. People have had him talking about him potentially as a second-round guy. Work out as a linebacker. So some teams, those three, four teams, are saying, well, wait a minute. We'll take these guys that maybe are 4-3 ends. Let's see if they can play as a stand-up outside linebacker. But then on the flip side of that, though, there's some linebackers. And the one I thought that was really, really interesting here is that Kenneth Murray, the linebacker from Oklahoma.
Where are you going to put him?
People are wanting to look at him as a defensive end.
Wow.
It's like 230 pounds.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's something to keep an eye on, these workouts when we get to them.
All right, there it is. Around the NFL, brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Dak's agent and the Cowboys met today. We'll give you the details on that next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.